Chapter 12. The Falcon had reverted into the deepest, darkest space Leia had ever seen. The handful of stars she could see through the cockpit canopy were mere ghost twinkles, and the frequency with which they kept vanishing and reappearing made her think she might be imagining them. "Who dimmed the blast tinting?" Han asked, complaining more than inquiring. "Check that flash detector. It must be on the blink." Leia pulled a glow rod from the emergency kit next to the co-pilot seat and shined a light into a thumb-sized dome that sat on top of the instrument console. The ghost stars vanished instantly as the canopy darkened.
"The flash detector is fine," she reported. "We must have stumbled into a bank of transitory mists."
"Stumbled is not how I would describe it," said their passenger, Nashta.
The assassin was slouched in the navigator's seat, rolling an unsheathed vibro dagger between her long fingers. Her hair remained in its bushy topknot, and she was still dressed in her sleeveless bodysuit.
"The mists absorb light and block long-range sensor readings."
"I see," Leia said. "So you were expecting this?"
"Always a good idea to blind your pursuers."
Nashta's black-rimmed eyes shifted to the back of Han's head.
"We can take our time plotting our next jump. They won't find us in this."
"I like your thinking," Han said, watching her reflection in the canopy. "After the way things went back at the palace, we'll be leading a fleet of battle dragons around the galaxy if we're not careful." Nashta shrugged.
"No worries. They'd have to be right on top of us to plot our next vector."
She continued to slouch in her seat, rolling the vibro dagger between her fingers and waiting for the Solos to start plotting jump coordinates they did not have. In the silence that followed, Leia began to think it might not be such a good idea to try tricking the assassin into revealing the identity of the coup leader. There was a cold hunger in Nashta's force presence that suggested she was just looking for an excuse to plant her vibro dagger in the back of Han's neck. When the long silence began to stretch from uncomfortable to alarming, Leia unbuckled her crash webbing and rose.
"I don't know about you two, but I'm famished."
She gave Han's shoulder an affectionate squeeze, then turned toward the rear of the cockpit. The last thing she wanted was to fight this assassin. But if it had to happen, she wanted room to maneuver.
"Why don't I fix us something to eat while you do the sweep?"
"Sweep?"
Nashta asked. "For homing beacons," Han said, smoothly following Leia's lead. "We always do a sweep after a scrape like that. A habit we picked up fighting Imperials."
"Ah."
Nashta's sunken eyes shifted from Leia to Han's reflection.
"Very clever."
Han seemed to wilt a little beneath her scrutiny.
Yeah.
He unbuckled his crash webbing and started after Leia.
"And count me in for the grub. I'm hungry enough to eat a rancor."
"Yes, eating would be nice."
Nashta sheathed her vibro dagger and followed, clearly determined not to let the Solos out of her sight, especially together.
"A good fight always whets my appetite."
They traveled down the cockpit access corridor to the main cabin. Han went to the engineering station to scan for unauthorized signals, and Leia went to the galley. The Nogri remained out of view, though Leia could feel them nearby, one hiding just inside the forward hold, the other lurking a few paces down the main corridor. Thankfully, C-3PO was in the rear of the ship, supervising a routine check of the backup life support systems. Instead of offering to help either Leia or Han, Nashta took a seat at the table, where she would be in a good position to watch them both. None of them removed their weapons belts. Leia called up a list of stores, then turned half toward Nashta.
"What would you like? We have brogy stew, gorba melts.
Do you have Nerf steaks?
Nashta interrupted. Sure, Leia said. Nerf steaks were more dinner than lunch, but who knew what timetable Nashta was on?
How would you like it? Them,
Nashta corrected.
I need three. Just defrosted will be fine.
Three? Leia gasped. She did not mean to be rude, but even Saba would have trouble eating that much meat, and Saba was a Barabel.
Perhaps you're accustomed to smaller steaks than we stock. These are half a kilo apiece.
Nashta's eyes flashed as though insulted.
Make it four,
she ordered.
My species has an unusual metabolism.
I think the word you're looking for is ferocious, Leia said.
Defrosted it is.
She punched an order into the galley's multiprocessor, requesting two gorba melts for her and Han, and the four steaks for Nashta. Then she returned to the table and sat across from the assassin.
What is your species?
Leia asked, trying to sound casual and polite.
You have a youthful appearance, but I sense that you've lived a long and interesting life already.
You sense?
Nashta's face remained as severe and unreadable as ever, but the force around her began to warm with resentment.
Be careful what you sense, Jedi. The dark side can be catching.
Leia frowned, suddenly feeling even more cautious and curious about the assassin than before.
Are you saying you were a Jedi?
Nashta laughed, a dry, humorless croak, then promptly changed the subject.
Why don't you and Captain Solo know where we are going? I'll take that as a no comment,
Leia said, automatically buying time. An abrupt change of subject could be just as effective for eliciting a candid reply as for avoiding one, and even without the tingle racing down her spine, Leia knew that her next answer would be a dangerous one.
Does that mean you don't want to talk about your species, either?
My mother was human. My father was a ghost in the night. And I doubt even my mother knew his species. But it was obviously a long-lived one.
Nashta drew her lips back in an indifferent smile.
If I ever find out who he was, perhaps I'll be able to hunt him down and kill him.
Her hand drifted toward the swinging holster she wore on her hip.
So how come you and Captain Solo don't know who our employer is?
Leia's danger sense turned to a sinking feeling.
Han and I don't work for your employer.
She cautiously moved her hand to the hilt of her lightsaber.
We're agents of the Corellian government.
That's right, Han said from across the cabin. He had stopped work and was facing Nashta, his hand propped on the butt of his own blaster. Prime Minister Gedjan asked us to go to the palace and lure Tenel Ka into a public area. That's all we knew about your plan.
And you agreed?
Nashta asked. It did not seem to trouble her that if a fight was to erupt, she would be caught in the middle of Han, Leia, and their Nogri, whom Leia felt sure the assassin could sense watching them.
My information says Tenel Ka is a Solo family friend.
She is, and she's on the wrong side of this war.
Leia put some Durasteel in her voice.
I've seen one empire rise in my lifetime. I don't want to see another.
We'll do whatever it takes to stop it, Han said. My own son is torturing Corellians.
He does seem to be following his grandfather's example, doesn't he?
Nashta kept her eyes fixed on Leia, and for the first time her smile appeared genuine.
That must make you very unhappy,
Unhappy isn't the way I'd put it.
Despite the obvious enjoyment Nashta took in her pain, Leia answered honestly. If they were to have any hope of tricking the assassin into revealing the identity of the coup leader, they had to win her trust.
It terrifies me.
Nashta actually licked her lips.
Truly? Yes.
Leia took a deep breath, then continued.
When Han and I married, I didn't want children, because I didn't want to take the chance that one of them would grow up to become another Darth Vader.
Han frowned across the cabin at Leia, clearly unhappy at having their family life revealed to an assassin.
Then something happened to change your mind,
Nashta surmised.
You hardly strike me as the careless type.
I'm not, Leia said.
We were on a mission to Tatooine. I started to have force visions, and then someone gave me my grandmother's vid diary. When I began to see my father through her eyes...
Leia let her sentence trail off, unable to help wondering if she had misinterpreted events all those years ago, if she should have seen Jason's dark future in the burning eyes of the force vision she had experienced, if she should have heard the menace in its cruel-voiced message. Mine. Mine. She had concluded at the time that the Force was trying to tell her that she belonged to it, that she needed to entrust it with her future. But now she could not help wondering if the vision had been something darker, some unseen evil laying claim to her issue.
You changed your mind,
Nashta said, finishing Leia's sentence.
You began to think the danger was not real?
Leia nodded.
And now, what do you think?
Nashta's eyes were sparkling with delight.
Was your fear justified?
Just hold on a blasted second.
Han started across the deck toward the assassin.
If you think we wish we never had kids...
Leia raised a hand and used the Force to stop Han from coming any closer.
If Han and I had never raised children, there would have been no Anakin Solo to save the Jedi from the Voxen, no Jason Solo to show us the way to victory against the Yuuzhan Vong, no Jaina Solo to lead the fight. So what I think... is that it's unwise to oppose the will of the Force.
I see,
Nashta said.
So if it's the will of the Force for your son Jason to follow in the path of his grandfather, you won't oppose it?
It's too early to tell how far down that path Jason will go. But I won't let him become another Darth Vader.
Leia saw the alarm her reply raised in Han's eyes, but to give any other answer would have been to step into Nashta's trap, to admit that the reasons she had given for turning against Tenel Ka were false.
Whatever it takes to stop that from happening, I'll do.
Nashta continued to study Leia.
Whatever it takes.
You heard her, Han said.
He had stopped in the middle of the cabin, with his hand still resting on the butt of his blaster pistol.
Not that it's any business of yours how we feel about the way our kids turned out.
It might be, when you realize that you can't handle him yourself.
Nashta slowly looked from Leia to Han.
I specialize in Jedi, you know. That's why they recruited me for Tenel Ka.
Yeah? Han replied. Well, leave us your contact data, and we'll think about it.
The multiprocessor chimed three times, announcing that lunch was ready. Han unsnapped the keeper strap on his holster.
Are we gonna eat, or what?
Nashta's gaze dropped to his hand and stayed there for a moment. Then she let out a snort of derision
and slowly moved her hand away from her blaster.
"Eating sounds good," she said.
"Wonderful,"
Leia said. Trying to keep her sigh of relief relatively inaudible, she went to the multiprocessor and prepared a tray with two savory-smelling gorba melts and Nashta's four defrosted steaks.
"Would you like something to drink, Nashta?"
"Not necessary,"
the assassin said.
"But I will need an empty glass."
Resisting the temptation to ask why, Leia added the empty glass to the tray, then returned to the table and distributed its contents. To Leia's astonishment, Nashta took one of the raw Nerf steaks and rolled it tight. Holding it over the empty glass, the assassin wrapped her long fingers around the meat and sank her sharp nails into it, then carefully squeezed the blood out. Suddenly, Leia's gorba melt no longer smelled quite so savory. Nashta smiled at Leia's obvious look of revulsion, then said,
"I saw your father race once."
"Race?" Han echoed. Though his eyes were fixed on Nashta's slowly filling glass, he was gobbling down his sandwich and had to speak around a full mouth.
"You mean pod race?"
"Yes. It was the Bunta Eve Classic. He was good. Very good."
"So I've heard."
Leia found herself feeling resentful of Nashta. As much as she still hated the memory of Darth Vader, over the years she had come to think of her father as the little boy she had glimpsed in her grandmother's vid diary, and it seemed somehow unfair that this assassin had been there at the high point of his life when all Leia had known were the low ones.
"He won, I believe."
"That's right. It was when he earned his freedom."
Nashta put the shriveled steak aside, then took a drink from the glass and smacked her lips in approval.
"Do you know what always amazed me about that race?"
"Wait a minute." Han swallowed a mouthful of gorba melt. "You expect us to believe you were there?"
"I believe her, Han."
Leia pushed her uneaten gorba melt aside, then asked,
"What amazed you, Nashta?"
"That he didn't cheat,"
she replied.
"All that natural force ability, and he ran an honest race in a contest that has no rules."
"Your point?"
Leia asked. Nashta gulped down the contents of her glass, then picked up another steak and began to refill it.
"Do I need to have a point?"
"Yeah,"
Han scowled.
"It helps move the conversation along."
Nashta arched her brow, somehow making even that simple gesture seem menacing.
"Then I suppose my point is this."
The steak made a soft bursting noise as she tightened her grasp, forcing all the juice from it at once. Nashta looked back to Leia.
"Your father was as full of surprises as you are. I suppose I do believe your story."
"Good."
Leia started to reach for her Vita juice, then caught a glimpse of what was in Nashta's glass and thought better of it.
"Then I hope you'll allow us to take you wherever you need to go."
Nashta nodded.
"Telker Station."
"Telker Station?"
Han asked doubtfully.
"You expect us to believe a bunch of pirates hired you?"
Nashta eyed Han coldly.
"Did I say we were going to meet my employers?"